Thank you, Brother Combs. Now, Miss Jennifer and Brother Isaac, I don't know which one lured the other back to a back seat in the auditorium. It's which one lured the other one back to the front row. But I appreciate it. All right? I appreciate it. Beware with any young man. Beware of any young man that wants you to sit in the back. And beware of any young woman that wants you to sit in the back. All right, I just covered all bases. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We shall begin to read in verse number 15. Now, let me say a couple of things. How many of you ladies have already signed up to help provide a meal at the for missions conference? I'm not talking about the International Supper. I'm talking about one of the two nights when we provide meals for our missionaries. If you've already signed up, raise your hand up high. Thank you. How many more do we need, Miss? Where's Miss Everhart? Need money. Okay. How many of you will say before the meetings tonight for the campaign, I'll go to Jennifer Everhart and give her some money to help with that? If you'll say that, would you lift your hand up right now up high? I'll go and give her some money. How much money do you need? Oh, you never ask a woman that. Okay, Miss Everhart, stand up so everybody will know who you are. All right? Stand up, Miss Everhart. But I sure would. Oh, may I love it. It's so important. And be sure and go by before you go to the meeting. Okay? And go by. And some of you men, if your wife wasn't here to give money, it's all right for you to go by and give her money for that meal. All right. Where will you be, Miss Everhart? At the hospitality center, where all ladies collecting money will be. All right. Thank you very much. And then, men, let me encourage you to go ahead and sign up for our Men of the Word conference, the first Friday evening and Saturday morning of March. Two outstanding speakers, Dr. Dwayne Nichols from San Antonio and evangelist Daryl Murphy. One serious and one that ought to be locked up. And you can figure out who's who. All right. Stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we shall begin to read in verse number 15. Paul said, writing to young Timothy, a young preacher boy, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Closer you get to God, the more you realize what a wretched sinner you were when He saved you. And the closer you get to God, the more you appreciate what He's done for you in His salvation. Verse 16, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." He said, God saved me because He wanted others to use my life as a pattern, knowing if God could save me, He can save anybody. And if God could use me, He said, I'm a pattern to show others that God could use anybody. "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, O son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And I want you to notice that statement, that according to the prophecies which went before on thee. Paul is saying the word of God is to be applied personally. And then when it's applied to our life, then we're to use it that we might war a good warfare. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, our spiritual warfare. Our spiritual warfare. Now, if you don't believe that we're in a battle, that we're in a war, where have you been? Look at your family. Look at your own life. Look at the mess you deal with because of sin. Look at people around you that are being torn apart by sin and Satan trying to destroy their life. Look at the hurt and the tears and the heartache. And we're coming to the place where one of the greatest examples of what sin can do is our Congress. Dear God, the ungodliness, the immorality, the liars, from the president down. We're in a warfare. And I want to talk to you about that warfare tonight. Father, help me in these next few moments, minutes, half hour or so, help alert your children to the warfare that we're facing. So many go casually through their life, and before they know it, they're a casualty because they're not ready for the warfare. The enemy is there. How foolish many Christians are that are trying to befriend the enemy, not knowing that we're in a warfare. Help me tonight to help our people and those that are listening to know that there's some things that we need to understand and we need to do if we're not going to become a victim. If we're going to be conquerors instead of the conquered, we better know how to war this warfare. Our marriages are struggling. They're falling apart because we're trying to live in the flesh and not the spirit. And the devil's doing his work on us and our children. Help us to be alert, dear God, to the enemy. Help us to realize you're not the enemy and the church is not the enemy and the preacher's not the enemy. I'm amazed the first time people start getting in trouble, they start running away from God and away from the church and away from the preacher, running into the world. And it's the world that's messed them up. God, would you help me tonight to help those that are listening, help us to listen on purpose in Jesus' name so that we might war a good warfare. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is instructing his spiritual son. Would you give me some more here? I'm pushing too hard. Paul is instructing his spiritual son, Timothy, that the Christian life was not a picnic or a day at the park. He wants Timothy to know that our Christian life is a warfare. And it'll be so as long as we live in this world. Many have failed in their Christian life because they didn't understand that simple truth. Some of you think that when you got saved, everybody's going to love you. But the truth is, the only people that's going to love you are other Christians. Even your unsaved mom and daddy may have trouble tolerating you because they're not going to understand what happened in your life. Many others have lost their children and their families because they were never taught the Bible truth, or when it was taught, they were either absent, didn't believe it, or refused to heed it. Listen to what Paul says about this fact of a spiritual warfare. In verse number 18 of the scripture we've read, he said that thou by them, the words of God, the prophecy, mightest war a good warfare. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Look, if you will, at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. Turn back over to Galatians chapter 6. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul is saying we're in a warfare. We need to be mindful that this warfare is real, the enemy is real, and his plan is to destroy your Christian life and hinder you from accomplishing the will of God. After Paul's ministry has come to an end, one of the last things he wrote was, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Now Paul states three things as he writes one of the last sentences of his life. First thing we notice is his life has been a warfare. I have fought a good fight. He had to fight to live faithfully for Christ. There were enemies and adversaries that opposed him for serving Christ. He was careful to fight a good fight according to God's rules. Let me tell you, the only way you're going to be victorious in this spiritual warfare is to learn to fight according to God's rules using His instructions in the battle. The second thing I notice is he did not allow the warfare to distract him from God's will for his life. He said, I've fought a good fight, but I've finished my course. Now, oh my, we've got to understand the warfare is not the purpose of our calling in life. He fought this warfare in order to be able to do the will of God and fulfill God's purpose and calling. He fought this warfare so he could stay on course for God. Too many Christians are just living to fight. That's not our calling. That's not our purpose. We have to fight the warfare so we'll be able to fulfill God's calling and purpose for our life. And our purpose is to carry the gospel around the world, to preach the gospel to every creature. How are you doing? I'm amazed that some Christians get caught up in the fight, and they're fighting all the time and forgetting what they're fighting for. I know some preachers that get on issues, and all of their life is spent fighting issues instead of fighting just for the privilege of standing up and declaring the Word of God to a world that's going to hell. Third thing I notice is Paul did not get so caught up in this warfare that he forgot what he was battling for. He said, I'm contending for the faith. He was fighting this warfare so he could stay true to God and to God's word and to God's will for his life. Now I want you to notice several thoughts here about this warfare, this spiritual warfare. We must not forget that our warfare is in the spiritual realm. It's in the spiritual realm. Now, we begin our life in the realm of the physical. We knew only the material, the physical, and the fleshly side of life before we accepted Christ as Savior. That's how we started life, in the realm of the physical. But when we're saved, when we are born again, when we're made spiritually alive in Christ, suddenly there is a competition going on within us, and the physical, the fleshly, begins to war against the spiritual. Can I tell you a little secret? Most of the problems in marriage are there. It's because you're fighting in the realm of the flesh, and you're not concerned about the spiritual warfare. Most of the problems with our children is not because we're battling a spiritual warfare, but we're doing what we're doing in the flesh. In the flesh. The old nature begins to battle the new nature. And it's sad to tell you that too often the new nature does not stand and fight against the old nature. Too often we as Christians just give in. Wave the white flag of surrender to the flesh. Now the Bible tells us plainly that no man can serve two masters. We'll love the one and hate the other. You say, but preacher, I'm a Christian. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian and you walk in the flesh, you're going to love the flesh. And if you love the flesh, you're not going to love Christ. And if you love Christ like you ought to love Christ, you're not going to love the flesh. You'll love the one and hate the other. That's the reason so many of our teenagers are battling against mom and dad, because they are walking in the flesh, they're living in the flesh, and they want to do the things of the flesh. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now notice it didn't say when you're living in the flesh, you can enjoy life and have peace. No, it's death. It's death. Christians trying to live in the flesh and build a marriage after the flesh are going to enjoy sorrow. Not enjoy, they're going to endure sorrow. They're going to face heartache. They're not going to know peace. Because the realm of peace is brought about when you know the Prince of Peace and walk in His Spirit. Then there's life and peace, the Bible says. Romans 8, 13 says, for if ye live after the flesh, you'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. Paul said, I die daily. Paul said, I crucify this flesh on a daily basis. He said, I keep myself under subjection. He said, I give the old flesh a black eye and say, you're not going to rule over me. Paul wanted to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:17 says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. And you cannot do the things that you would. You can't want to do right and walk in the spirit, in the flesh, and do right. And if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Philippians said, For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, when Paul realized this truth, that his Christian life was a warfare, he counted all physical and social advantages that he had as lost and as dung, so that he might win Christ and be found in him. Now, that doesn't mean he was working his way to salvation. He said, I want to win his favor, and I want to win his approval, and I want to win his blessings, and I want to win his trust. And I can't do that living in the flesh and doing the things the flesh wants to do. He fought this spiritual warfare so that he could know Christ. That means to have that close, intimate relationship with Christ. He fought this warfare so he could live his life for Christ. He said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. He fought this spiritual warfare so he could win others to Jesus Christ. A person that is a Christian, that is living in the flesh, that's allowing his carnal nature, his depraved nature, to have its way in his life, is living only for themselves. They don't think about who they hurt. They don't think about the influence on others. They only think about what they want for the moment. And they don't give thought to the consequences of the future. Your Christian life is not what it ought to be if you find it easy to live your Christian life in the flesh, in the carnal and wicked world. If you find it easy as a Christian to be accepted in this wicked carnal world, you're living far below where Christ intends for you to live. You cannot live in the Spirit and the world love you. Jesus said, they hated me and they'll hate you because we're not of this world. Now, the second thing I want to say tonight is we have got to realize that there are three enemies we must fight against in our spiritual warfare. Our warfare is not against mom and daddy. It's not against the church. It's not against the preacher. Believe it or not, none of those are out to destroy you. Our warfare is to be fought against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, let me explain what I mean by the world, the flesh, and the devil. First of all, when I talk about the world, I mean the depraved, polluted, secular system controlled by the devil and by unregenerate man. The world that is seeking to fulfill the lust of the flesh. A world that has no spiritual understanding. I'm talking about the world that's for booze and for abortion and for homosexuality and for immorality and free love, the world that's for passing out condoms and live like you want to live and sleep together without marriage and have children without marriage. And I'm talking about the world that wants you to spend what you don't have for things you don't need with money that you can't, or with at prices you can't pay for. Our nation tonight and the leadership of our nations as spiritually bankrupt as the carnal lives are being lived, as are being lived by people in the world today. Christ, speaking about Christians and himself in John 17:6, said, "They are not of the world," talking about Christians, "even as I am not of the world." You listen to me, Christian. You're as out of place in this world as oil is in water. They don't mix. You're as out of place as darkness is in light, or light in darkness. We're not of this world, just as Christ was not of this world. John 17:14 says, "I have given them thy word," talking about Christians, "and the world hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world." 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That's strong, folks. Mom and dad, boys and girls, you run around in love with the world. God's word said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's strong. And I sense tonight some of you don't believe it. Listen to James 4:4. "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God?" Then he says, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." That's powerful. And I ask you tonight, are you a friend of Jesus or an enemy to God tonight? Has to do with your relationship with this world. 1 John 2, verse 16 and 17 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Now that's what I'm talking about when I talk about the world. I'm talking about the carnal, secular system that governs this world and wants to control and manipulate you in your flesh. The world. The second enemy is the flesh. And the flesh means that corrupt, carnal, and sensual desires and cravings of this old depraved body. The flesh. You say, "Preacher, I don't have that much trouble with it." You're dead or lying one. Best Christian I know outside of Jesus in the New Testament had trouble with it. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. You want to know what kind of trouble he had? Listen in Romans chapter 7. "For we know that the law is spiritual, I am carnal, sold under sin." He said, "For that which I do, I allow not, and what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do not that, I would not. If I do that, I would not. It is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members, my flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God, but the flesh, the law of sin. Now, you know what Paul is saying there? Paul is saying, I battle every day the same battles you battle. I have the same problem with this old flesh trying to get me to do what I ought not do. The Spirit of God tells me what I ought to do, and the flesh tells me, no, do this, and I don't do what I ought to do, and I do what I ought not do. I've got to quit that before I get so confused. I don't know where I am. Paul fought this warfare every day of his life. He said, I fought a good fight. You say, well, preacher, I don't fight that every day. And that's your problem. When you don't fight it, you're giving in to it. Because I promise you, the enemy is there every day. You say, this old flesh doesn't make me think wrong thoughts or lust after wrong things. You're lying like a dog. I'm 70 years old. And I want you to know the flesh is still alive. And every day fights me. Every day I have to war against this flesh. And it's an everyday occurrence. A person cannot walk in the flesh and live for the flesh and win the battle over the flesh. Our victory is in Jesus Christ alone, by faith and obedience to God's unchanging word as we walk in His Spirit. Now that's a mouthful, but that's the secret. Victory is in Jesus Christ alone. You can't go to a seminar and get victory over the flesh. You can't hear enough lectures to get victory over the flesh. Somewhere you've got to realize, if I'm going to have victory over the flesh, I've got to obey God and live by the Word of God and walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what Galatians 5:16 says. So we have the enemy of the world and the flesh, and then the third enemy we fight every day is the devil. Now let me stop right here and say, sometimes we blame the devil for that which is the work of the flesh. Now you've got to understand, this old carnal man, natural man, unsaved man, fleshly man is as wicked as hell itself. That's the reason you don't have to teach your flesh how to do wrong, how to think evil, how to be lustful. Boy, we pick it up quick. Because we are carnal. We're depraved. We're sinful. But let me tell you, there is a real devil that's our enemy that works against us also. Now, unfortunately, he's got the flesh working against us too. And sometimes we don't have enough sense to know what's flesh and what's really Satan attacking. Now the devil means that malignant prince of darkness that was evicted from heaven because of his pride and rebellion against God. And he is the arch enemy of God. And he ought to be the enemy of every child of God. Everything God loves, Satan hates. And you better mark it down, he is real and he is evil. Listen to what God says about the devil in Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's talking about the devil and his legion of devils, whose purpose is to try to wrestle away from God the glory that could be given to Him from our lives. To try to wreck our homes and rob us of our children. He's our enemy. He's not normal man. He's not flesh and blood. When you compare the devil's power to man's power, don't you forget he is a fallen angel and his power is supernatural compared to your power in the flesh. You cannot handle the devil. You cannot win the battle against the devil in the energy of your flesh. You don't have enough power. You don't have enough ability. You don't have enough understanding. We wrestle against principalities. If we knew the demon forces or devil forces that are assembled under his command, that are in the atmospheric heavens around us, you'd be scared to death. Now, I don't watch weird shows, horror shows. I don't watch anything dealing with demons or devils or demon possession or spooks or any chainsaw mass. I don't watch that kind of junk. I believe the devil's real. I believe he has an entire army of fallen angels behind him. And they have demon powers, supernatural power as compared to our power. They're the rulers of the darkness of this world. They're spiritual wickedness. That's the reason Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. He said, oh, if I had enough faith to stand. Hey, that's not what he's saying. When it says the faith, it's talking about this. You want to resist the devil? Use this against him. Slap him upside of the head with appropriate verse. He can't defend against it. The devil. So we wrestle, we fight. Our three enemies is the world, the flesh, and the devil. You better realize they're real. Lastly, I want you to consider the weapons of our warfare. Now, if we're going to win this warfare, God has not given us stealth bombers and smart bombs. But He has given us weapons that are mighty against the devil, against the flesh, and against the world. And if we're going to learn to be victorious and live a victorious life, it's battling and serving. Battling and serving. You better learn to battle with a sword of the Spirit in one hand and working for God with the other. You don't want to ever lay down the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The only offensive weapon in the whole armor of God that He gives us is the sword of the Spirit, the Bible. All the armor is to protect us as we face the devil, not as we run from him. We're to battle him with the Word of God. We're to stand against him with the Word of God. We're told plainly that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. 2 Corinthians 10. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our weapons are not carnal weapons. They're not man-made weapons. They're not physical weapons. You don't get this weapon from the world. We're told plainly that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That is, they're not fleshly. They're not of this world. They're not under the control of human nature. And to win this warfare we're in, the Christian cannot depend upon his natural mind or human instincts. Listen to me. When a couple has marriage problems, the first thing the natural mind and human instinct thinks of is, I'll fight and I'll run. But the right thing to do is to say, let's get help from somebody that can take the Word of God and give us counsel. But because we are carnal and fleshly, we want to run. We want to not face anybody and be ashamed. You listen to me. When you're having marital problems, the best friend you have is your preacher. He loves you. He's not going to sit there and judge you. He's not going to be critical of you. He may like to give you a swift kick, but he's not. He's going to give you Bible counsel. He's going to pray for you, and he's going to do everything in his mind to help you get over and through the problem so you can have a walk with God and a life that grows in love together with each other. But we run. And guess what? The next time you find a place to settle, you'll go through the same problem, because somewhere you got to deal with it. You got to get victory over it. Dear God, I wish we would quit living in the realm of the flesh thinking that everybody's going to look down on us. Let me tell you a secret. Every marriage here has had problems at one time or another and needed someone to love them and pray with them and give them counsel. Every marriage that has any longevity at all to it needs help somewhere along the way. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not of this world. We're not to operate by natural mind or human instinct. The natural mind is a part of the flesh and is of this world. Thus, the blind cannot lead the blind. Nor can Satan cast out Satan. And flesh cannot conquer flesh. We cannot win spiritual battles with carnal weapons. Here in conclusion, I want to give you our weapons of spiritual warfare. They're spiritual in nature. Number one, the number one weapon you must use in this battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil is the Word of God. And the number one battle raging in Christian circles today is this: is the Bible really the Word of God? You know why there's such an attack on the Bible? Guess who is the author of it? It's the old booger man. It's the old devil. If he can destroy your confidence in the Word of God, he's taken your sword away from you and you're defenseless. All you can do is spit at the devil. That's not enough. One of our weapons is the Word of God. That's the reason he said, listen, I use it again. Paul said to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, this charge I commit to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. Now, what was those prophecies? That was the Word of God. That thou by them mightest war a good warfare. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. See, the one thing that stands between you and falling into sin is whether the Word of God's in here or not. You say, I own a Bible. What have you done about putting it in here and in here? When you face Satan in temptation, what can you recall? Oh, this is what they did on that TV program. You better learn what God said. The Word of God is our weapon. Another weapon for our spiritual warfare is the whole armor of God. And I challenge you to go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and you read about the whole armor of God and look at how every one of those relates to your relationship to the Bible, the Word of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. How do you know you're saved? Well, I just feel like it. You're dumb on a rock. You'll get up tomorrow not feeling saved and you'll think you need to get saved again. No, I know I'm saved because I have the Word of God that gives me that assurance. These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know you have eternal life. Now listen to me. Some of you who need this the most, you're not listening. You're talking to one another. Finally, after going through the whole number of pieces of armament, he finally says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But every piece of that armament has to do some way with the Word of God. Still another weapon for our spiritual warfare is fellowship with other Christians. Now that's the reason the Bible says, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Now the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, being let go, we return to our own company. When you get into a church, you better make sure your fellowship is with good Christians, right Christians. But here's what happens. Because you're carnal-minded, you look out all the carnal-minded Christians to fellowship with, and you just feed your carnality. Instead of them being a help to you in your spiritual warfare, they're an encouragement to live by the flesh and be defeated. You better be careful running around with these kids that are always telling some dirty joke or talking during church or texting during church. These kids that have a dirty mouth, these kids that are always talking about filthy things or worldliness or carnality. They'll just help you down that slippery slope to failure instead of helping you to win the spiritual warfare. Mom and Dad, if you had a lick of sense, you'd check up on who your kids are running with. And can I give you a word of encouragement? Don't let your kids run over and sleep over with everybody in the church. You say, well, they're good kids. You don't know that. You don't know what they're like at home. And even if you did, you can't be there to watch. You say, but I trust my kids. Oh, dear God. Who do you think you are? You think you're God Himself, that your kids could never do wrong? You remember, they have your genes. Well, I just don't know why my kids act this way. Won't you look in the mirror? Fellowship with right Christians helps us. Every now and then I'll run across a preacher that says, I'm not going to have any kind of fellowship with any other preachers. I'm just going to stand alone for Jesus, not long till they fall. And I know some preachers that fellowship with the wrong kind of preachers, and before you know it, they're gossips, critical, carnal, powerless. But oh, what a blessing it is to have a good Christian friend that loves God, loves the Word of God, and will encourage you, and you can encourage them. Fellowship with believers, the right kind of believers, is to help us in our Christian warfare, not to speed us along on the way to failure and defeat. Then may I say to you also, prayer is important, is an important weapon in our spiritual warfare. So many times when we read in Ephesians chapter 6 about the whole armor of God, we stop with a sword of the Spirit and we forget the next verse where he talks about praying. Praying. Let me tell you, I believe the sword of the Spirit and prayer go together. If you don't have a prayer life, you're not going to live a victorious life over the flesh. In fact, if you don't have a prayer time, the flesh has already won the battle. And then serving God in the power of the Holy Spirit is another one of our spiritual weapons in this warfare. Paul said, be not drunk with wine, that's the work of the flesh, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And that statement, be ye filled with the Spirit, literally means to be ye being filled. It's a continuous thing. God wants us to walk in the Spirit today and then get up in the morning and walk in the Spirit tomorrow and get up the next day and walk in the Spirit then. And we need to be conscious of that. We need to yield to Him. We need to ask Him for His filling. We need to yield control over Him every day, over this flesh, every day of our life. Because no matter how much you fought it and gave it a licking today, tonight the devil breathes CPR into this flesh. Tomorrow morning it starts flexing its muscle again and trying again to get the best of the Christian. So how do you defeat that? Before you put your feet on the floor in the morning, yield your body to God. Crucify this flesh. Die to your will. Ask for His Holy Spirit's power and filling and control. With the Word of God, with the whole armor of God, with right fellowship, with right Christians, with a prayer life, and walking in the Spirit, though it's going to be a battle, like Paul, we can say, I've fought a good fight, and I've finished my course. The devil didn't get the victory. The flesh didn't get the victory. The world didn't get the victory. And God lets us know that these weapons that I've mentioned are mighty through God. Now you tell me, what else do you have that's mighty? What else? Do you stand in front of the mirror and say, man, look at that, mighty? Not quite. I stand in front of the mirror and I look and I say, flabby. But God said these weapons were mighty. Mighty. When you put your brain power to work, do you stop and say, mighty? No. But God says these weapons, these spiritual weapons for our warfare are mighty through God. Well, I simply want to say in conclusion, we're in a warfare, and it's spiritual in nature. We better realize and know that our enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil, and some backslidden Christians. We must understand that to win the victory in this warfare, we've got to use the right weapons. If we don't, we're going to be overcome instead of becoming overcomers. Now, I just want to ask one more question, and I'm through tonight. How you doing in your fight? How you doing in your fight? We're in a warfare. Father, God, I've not tried to entertain. I've not tried to be eloquent. Lord, I very seldom could ever do that. But I've tried to be plain. I've tried to be loud. I've tried to be simple tonight. And letting our people know that there is a real war going on. And the greatest war we'll ever face is not in Iraq or Afghanistan. It's right here in our own daily life and in the life we're living with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if we lose that battle, we're going to have to face you as Christians without fulfilling our purpose. Speak to our hearts tonight. There's someone here struggling tonight. They're in a real battle. They're in the midst of the battle, the heat of the battle. They need to know how to use the weapons that we've just talked about. Help them, dear God. Help us, Lord, to understand we can be victorious. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be conquered. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. It may be there's someone here tonight's unsaved, or someone that needs a church home, someone that just needs to get right with God. In these next few moments, Heavenly Father, have your way. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Help us not to be that Christian living in the flesh, ignoring the Spirit as He speaks tonight. But help us to be sensitive to that still small voice and to fall on our face and yield our life to our great God as we cry out for help in the battle and the warfare of this life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.